quote different verses tonight. The first one would be in the book of Job, Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28 and verse 7. There's a path which no fell knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen, the lion's whelp hath not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. Now over to the book of Proverbs in chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. It says there that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now over into the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And then finally, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And will you trust the Lord will bless these verses to us all then tonight. There's a path which no fowl knoweth, the vulture's eye hath not seen, the lion's whelp haven't trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by. Now, I think as we think of the book of Job generally now, most or many would think that the book of Job is all gloom and doom. But you know, as you read it, you discover it's not all doom and gloom at all. We know that the severe trial that Job passed through, but again, in the book, we find there are some beautiful quotations. And thinking about just that song, that hymn we've been singing there, about redemption ground, Job was able to look over the centuries of time and say in chapter 19, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, whom I shall see for myself, and when I shall behold and not another. That's an amazing statement to make. All these hundreds of years ago, that Job could look forward to a day and speak concerning his Redeemer. Another nice verse would be in chapter 22, verse 21, and it says, acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace thereby good shall come unto thee. Again, chapter 28, where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Behold, the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. And as I said, there are so many beautiful quotations right through the book of Job. So what about this verse that we have read tonight? Now, I don't know about you, but I have never heard anyone ever speak on this verse. Now, I wouldn't know what the correct interpretation would be, but tonight I want to use this verse in application regarding the person and the pathway of our Lord Jesus Christ. We go over to Psalm 145, remember David's Psalm of Praise. He says in verse 3, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, his greatness is unsearchable. And someone has said, we may speak of the Lord Jesus as much as we wish, and praise him to the bound of our capacity, without ever being reprimanded by heaven for exaggerating his excellences. We can never exaggerate when we're speaking about the infinite greatness and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, Isaiah, he says in chapter 40, who measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out the heaven with his span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Now that's amazing now, isn't it? Again, if we go to Psalm 39, we read these words, he spake and it was done, he commanded and it stood fast. And the world today, the world was brought about by the spoken word of God. Colossians, remember, it says there concerning the Lord Jesus that he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And so as we read through these verses, we can see the Lord's hand in creation. But you know, as we think of salvation, as we pointed out there, we see the heart of the Lord. The Lord Jesus, again, he was the eternal Son of God, and someone again has quoted, "Forever was he Son of God, forever God the Son." Again, as we think of 1 Corinthians 15, remember it says there, the first man was of the earthy, but the second man was the Lord from heaven. And the poet said, "None but thyself, O God, could estimate his riches vast, his condescension great, his stoop from glory's sphere, in grace sublime to move in servant form through scenes of time. A path that no fowl knew, the vultures I had never seen, the lion's whelp had never trodden, nor the fierce lion passed by. And that would be the pathway of our Lord Jesus Christ from the heights of glory to be found in fashion as a man." Remember, the Proverbs chapter 4 says this, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And I think again that would be so applicable concerning the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He grew in wisdom and in stature and with favour with God and man, and we can see his growth, we can see his development, and again we see him there on Jordan's banks with divine approval stamped upon him. John Nelson Darby, who was a writer in earlier days, much earlier days, said this: "What was the life of Jesus, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? It was a life of activity and security, causing the love of God to penetrate the most hidden corners of society wherever the needs were greatest. Again, this life did not shelter itself from the misery of the world, but it brought into it the love of God." This pathway that we've been reading about tonight would be so applicable to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was no pathway before then and no pathway since that moved in a path like him for God's pleasure and for God's glory. Again, the pathway would be spoken about by the poet, and he says, "Unto the end we'll even pay through such a scene as this, with not one thing then out of place and not one word amiss." But sadly again, we read in John's Gospel, chapter 1, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Now, I wonder, friend, tonight now, have you ever received him? Again, it has been said, being right with God is not the discovery of something in ourselves that can constitute a claim on God's favour, but something in the heart of God that makes a claim on our devotion. And all over the world tonight, there's a verse that will be quoted, or will have been quoted earlier, and will be quoted later on, all over the world, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The hand of the Lord in creation, but the heart of God in salvation, in the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the scene of time. As we pointed out, that the word faith, when used in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ, is always an active word, suggesting movement towards, commitment to, dependence on. And we find that this word, believeth, in John chapter 3, is exactly the same word. Now I wonder again tonight now, have you ever moved towards him? Have you ever committed yourself to him? Are you totally dependent upon him for salvation? But sadly again, we must say this, if you've never done that, then you're not saved and you're still dead in trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians chapter 2. The brother in Ireland wrote these words: "He, Calvary, is the centre of world history, Drew Craig by name. It is the highest measure of love, it is the deepest measure of suffering, it is the widest measure of salvation. And all before Calvary look forward to it, and all after Calvary look back to it." Again, the poet has said, "Love brought him down from the glory and made him come from the sky. Love in his heart for the sinner led him to suffer and die. A pathway that no fowl knew, and the vultures I had never seen, the lion's whelp had never trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by." And as I was said, this pathway was unique for a person that was unique, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know what you think of Churchill. Now, I think, this is my personal opinion now, I was only a boy during the World War II, but I think, looking back, that the Lord raised Churchill up to deliver Britain from the Nazis. Now, whether you agree with that or not, I don't know. But Churchill said this of truth. He says, "Panic may resent it, ignorance may deride it, malice may distort it, but there it is." And the truth tonight is this, that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom. For that is the truth. Now, I don't know if you resent it, or deride it, or with malice discourt it, but the truth is this, that there is only one God. There's only one God and one mediator between God and man, himself man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Now, coming to Acts chapter 4, Peter says this, that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Now again, as we look through our Bibles, we read some statements concerning the Lord. Chapter 43 of Isaiah says, even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. Chapter 45, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Now I don't know everyone in the hall tonight. Now I wonder, have you ever accepted the Lord Jesus as your Saviour and acknowledged him as Lord? That verse in chapter 45 goes on to say this, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow. Now again, as we come into the New Testament and look at Philippians chapter 2, remember it says this, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You have a choice today. You have a choice in this day of grace to bow the knee to Christ and accept him as Saviour and acknowledge him as Lord. But remember this, in the coming day, if you reject the message of the gospel and you reject the Saviour, then remember this, you will have no choice. That verse is, every knee shall bow. Again, it has been said, what God has done in Christ for man is so complete that all man can do is accept it by faith. Again, remembering this, that God has both an all-seeing eye and he's got an all-forgiving heart. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, or what you've said, or anything like that at all, God is able and willing to forgive you your sins and give you a new start. It's been pointed out that Christ's forgiveness is the door to a new beginning. Again, it has been said that denying the truth of the gospel does not make the gospel untrue, nor does believing it make it more true than it really is. The great fact remains unchanged, for either by faith or unbelief, all who believe it prove it to be true for themselves. I wonder tonight now, have you ever accepted the Saviour? Have you ever accepted the message of the gospel, remembering this again, that your opinion is no substitute for the truth of God's word? And the truth is this, that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Again, while God owes us nothing, he freely gives us salvation, and he promises us salvation, he gives us salvation when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. Another verse in Job says this, is there not an appointed time for man on the earth? And we know again that the Lord Jesus did know that there was an appointed time for him on the earth. John chapter 7, it says he sought to take him, but no man laid his hand on him because his hour was not yet come. Again, chapter 8, no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Chapter 13 again, in John's Gospel, he knew that his hour was come. And then in chapter 17 he says, Father, the hour is come. There was an appointed time for him on the earth, and the hour was coming for him to die on Calvary's tree. Now again, I'm sure we've all visited people when they've been ill. And we know just by looking at them that they were dying. I'm sure that's been our sad experience over the years. We've looked at people and we've seen that they were dying. You know, Ecclesiastes points out chapter 8, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And how true that is now, isn't it? We've all seen it in our lifetime. But again, not so with our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember this, the Lord Jesus was never a dying man. Romans chapter 5 says, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death hath passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But not so with our Lord Jesus Christ, because he was intrinsically holy. He was without a trace of Adam's sin, as man unique in origin, all fair without, all pure within our blessed Lord. He said himself that he had power to lay down his life, and he had power to take it up again. No man could take his life from him. But we find again that he voluntarily went into death and rose again from amongst the dead, proving again that he was without sin. Again, the apostle writes, the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world, and this meant his death there upon the cross. Again, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. Now I wonder again, has everybody in the hall accepted him by faith as their Saviour? Because again that verse says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. In the earlier days, in our Windygates days, we used to have a youth fellowship on a Friday night, and there's quite a few of the local boys used to come into the meeting, and they loved the singing. And one of them always gave out, every Friday night he gave out the hymn, "Oh, what a Saviour, that he died for me from condemnation. He hath made me free. He that believeth on the Son saith, he hath everlasting life." I can still picture up him and the rest of us singing about him on the Friday night. But you know, sadly, I never ever heard of him accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour. What a tragedy to walk in the darkness of rejected light. Now, I wonder, does that apply to you tonight? Now, John Nelson Darby again was asked, "What shall I do in the future?" And he replied, "There is no future for the Christian but glory." Can you say that tonight? You know, I remember I was only 9 years old when my grandmother died, a believer, and I can remember my grandfather saying it didn't mean anything to me at the time, but my grandfather said this: for her it was instant glory. She was absent from the body and she was at home with the Lord. Instant glory, no future but glory. I wonder, have you got a future like that? Now Titus speaks about the future. He's looking for that blessed hope and the appearing in glory of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And this is the Saviour that we've read about tonight here in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none under name, other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. I wonder tonight, friend, did you know him and have you trusted him as your Saviour? You're wondering what God wants from you tonight. Well, Psalm 51 and verse 17, David makes it perfectly clear. What does God want? David says, "A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." And if that's how you feel tonight in the presence of God here in the gospel hall, remember this: God will not despise you. He will not turn you away if you cry to him for salvation. What does God want? Acts chapter 20 says this: repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. William Cowper wrote, "He that hates the truth shall be the dupe of lies." And what again is the truth tonight that we're trying to emphasize to you? That neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. There recently a piece of poetry by Danson Smith, and it says this: "I cannot tell why sin was found in heaven, nor can I solve the mystery of the fall. But oh, I know that mankind can be forgiven if on the Lord for pardon they will call. For all man's sins and guilt Christ fully bore, that man to his first place he might restore." Peter says he bore my sins on his own body on the tree. And I can see that tonight as well, because I trusted him as my Saviour so long ago. He bore my sins on his body on the tree. And I realised just what we read in Acts chapter 4, that there was no other Saviour but him. I wonder tonight, what about you? Remembering again this, it has been said that Christ is not rehabilitation, it is a new creation, as we have thought about in prayer already tonight. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Again, when the Lord Jesus was here, he was saying in different words what this verse says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. "I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Neither is salvation in any other." Again, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And again, it has been said, "In Christ alone the earth shall find its answer, a refuge from its doubts, its fears, its strife. This God revealed in flesh, this precious Saviour, forever is the way, the truth, the life." I wonder, friend, tonight, do you know him as your Saviour? That's chapter 13. Paul says this: be it known unto you therefore, men, brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. And again, Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Now go back to Proverbs chapter 14. Twice over, chapter 14, and I can't remember this other chapter now, this verse is quoted. I think it's maybe chapter 16. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but at the end thereof are the ways of death. And again, the point we say, not what these hands have done can save my guilty soul, not what this toiling flesh have borne can make my spirit whole. Thy work alone, my Saviour, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace with him. You know, I'm sure as you get older, and maybe I'm beginning to show my age, because you look back over your lifetime and you look at some of the decisions you made, and you know, as you think of these decisions, you thought at the time it was the right decision to make, but what a gift hindsight is now, isn't it? And as you look back, you think that you would see things and do things differently. Decisions, friend, tonight, regarding your soul salvation in the hall here, you've got to make a decision. Tonight, as you leave the hall, whether you are aware of it or not, you will have made a decision, either to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour or reject him. Again, it may seem to you as the right thing tonight to do to reject him. But remember, I guess, again tonight, this verse says that there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but at the end thereof are the ways of death. But if you do accept the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, what does he say? Come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. He offers you tonight. His offer to you tonight is not the way of death, but of eternal life. And we find that this word abundantly could be translated a life which is above the common. You know, again in the Gospels we read concerning a young man who asked the Lord Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord Jesus told him, and it says he went away sorrowful, for he had great riches. And as we pointed out, that this young man was full of eagerness, humility, discernment, and had a tremendous respect for morality. Christ called him to sacrifice for the future, but he sacrificed for the present. A way that seemed right to him, but sadly, the end thereof was the way of death when he rejected the Saviour and the God's way of salvation. You know, some years ago, I sat with a man who was terminally ill, and as I spoke to him, I said to him, how do you feel about meeting God? And he said, you know, I've done the best I can in my life. I've been a good husband to my wife. I've been a good father to my family. I've attended the church regularly. And I says, Jim, that's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's not enough. That is good. That is good, but that is not enough. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for God's salvation. You know, the last time I visited him, he was just lapsing into semi-consciousness. And as I was going out the door, as I was getting up to go out the door, he reached forth his hand to shake my hand. And what I took out of that was this, that he had done what I asked him and told him to do, and that he had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour. You know, friend, again tonight, you could have tons of religion without 1 ounce of salvation. Again, it's been pointed out that religion can't inform you and conform you, but it cannot transform you. And the transformation only comes when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. I think it was the verse that was quoted in prayer tonight. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away, because all things have become new. We've all heard the story and read the story about Zacchaeus, remember, in Luke chapter 19. And we can see there that there was a transformation taking place. It says there, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. But you know, in verse 8, he addresses the Lord and says, "Behold, Lord." Earlier, he wanted to see Jesus, but now he was acknowledging him as Lord. "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor." Now, friend, that's what you've got to do tonight to be saved. You've got to acknowledge the Lordship of Christ, because Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 tells us that, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." That's not a way that seems right, and the end thereof is the way of death. But tonight, by acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and acknowledging him as Lord, as Zacchaeus did, then you will receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. To the thought of God staggers the mind, someone has said, but to know him satisfies the heart. So that again, now as you live out your life, as you're living it in a way that seems right to you, but the end thereof is the way of death, trust Christ tonight as your Saviour, and you will move onto that pathway which will lead you to heaven and to home. God honours faith, because faith honours God. I wonder tonight, as you think about your life, now you don't think about it, and it's not to do with me either, I wonder, are you on a way that seems right to you, but the end thereof is the way of death? The last verse, Romans chapter 8, in verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." And the margin would say, "There is no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus." And that's what the Lord Jesus said, remember, in John chapter 5 and verse 24, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come under judgment, but is passed out of death into life." Again, the poet says, and I love this poet, I don't want to quote a small part of it. "Well, this is the sweetest of all, that Jesus has suffered for sin and paid the full debt that incurred by the fall with my private account reckoned in. My Saviour has set my soul free, my peace with the Father has made, my debt on the tree he has balanced for me, and it's paid, paid, paid." I wonder, can you say that tonight? Remember a sobering verse in Psalm 49 says, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, no man can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for the soul." But Christ can tonight, because he died, he was buried, and he rose again from the dead, and was received into heaven, and he's now seated at God's right hand. And he says to every one of us tonight who accept him as our Saviour, "Because I live, ye shall live also." There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You're leaving the hall tonight. I wonder tonight, are you leaving the hall out of Christ or in Christ? Remember again, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour tonight, remember again, you'll never come under God's judgment. God will bless you, and God will save you, and God will transform your life and give you a peace that would pass all understanding these days. Shall we commend yourself to the Lord? Father, again, just bow in thy presence, and we thank thee for the message of the gospel. We thank thee for this full and free salvation that is offered to every one of us, bowed in thy presence now. Just help us to accept this and to acknowledge our need of a Saviour, and acknowledge him again tonight as our Saviour and Lord. So remember us all for good now, take us all home safely, and grant us all thy blessing in our Saviour's name. Amen. Now we could just sing in closing, not him that I quoted, I don't know what the number is, but what a Saviour that he died for me, from condemnation, 173 I think it is, "From condemnation he has made me free, he that believeth on the Son saith he hath everlasting life." Just sing the first verse and the chorus, just remaining seated, of 173.